Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll meet our new department commander from the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota and learn about how the PGA Hope program is helping our disabled veterans. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Your Minnesota National Guard is a unique military organization in that we have a dual role. Our chain of command includes both our governor and our president. We serve both overseas in combat roles and here, at home, in response to state emergencies. More than 13,000 strong, the soldiers and airmen of your Minnesota National Guard are based in more than 60 communities across our great state. From our Air National Guard units in Duluth and the Twin Cities, to our Army National Guard soldiers stationed in Rosemont, Bloomington, Camp Ripley, and elsewhere, the soldiers and airmen of your Minnesota National Guard live here and serve here. It is our mission to be a good community partner. As a community partner, the Minnesota National Guard is a responsible steward of taxpayer dollars. And in fiscal year 2017, the Minnesota National Guard contributed more than $500 million to the Minnesota economy. We partner with local law enforcement agencies, schools, and an assortment of community organizations as part of our counter-drug program. And in our role as an emergency management response agency, we're prepared to protect Minnesota from any hostility, be it winter weather, floods, or wildfires. When I'm in the community, people often stop me to offer me a handshake and thank me for my service. I'm always humbled by that gesture of gratitude. But I'm also proud in the knowledge that the Minnesota National Guard is always ready to protect our community and always there to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, we have a chance today to meet the new department commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota. Joining us now is Rick Jarvis. Commander, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Commander, I understand that you served during the Vietnam War and were in the Army.
Yes, I did. I was a 91 B-20 combat medic with the 9th Infantry Division, and I finished up my tour there with the 75th Rangers, also in the Macon Delta.
Now that, was that your first tour or your second?
That was my second tour.
And what years were you over there?
1968 to August of 1969.
And a combat medic?
Yes, I was.
So I'll bet you in your dreams you revisit some of those things you saw and did when you're in Vietnam.
Yes, I do. Yeah, from time to time, thoughts come back, and you work your way through them.
Yep, like the rest of our buddies from Vietnam, the VA Medical Center, and there's a lot of agencies out there that can help us through some of those issues, such as post-traumatic stress.
Yes, there is. I was a member of a couple of good groups there and went through some programs myself in St. Cloud VA.
And Commander, how did you get to join the Disabled American Veterans, the DAV of Minnesota?
Well, when I got my disability, I wanted to give something back, so I joined as a life member in 2000. And I'm a member of Chapter 12 in Morrison County, up in Little Falls. And I've been very active in the chapter, and I decided to take a step up and run for the state line a number of years ago, and I ended up going through.
So you've been 18 years a member of the DAV of Minnesota, and it took you a few years to get through the chairs at the department level.
Yes, it did, Tom. It took it was a five-year journey.
And you're smiling about it, so it must have been a good one, Commander.
Yeah, well, it is. It is. It's very busy. It's. I'm very proud and honored to be the face of over 19,000 disabled American veterans in the state.
And, Commander, we've watched a number of these commanders over the last 8 years we've been doing the radio show, and I'll bet you're going to have a real busy year.
Oh, it's been busy. August is booking up already. I think there's 7 or 8 events we have planned.
And so your state adjutant probably keeps track of your calendar and keeps you pretty scheduled, doesn't he?
He certainly does. Yeah, a great person to have on your side, I'll tell you.
Stephen Whitehead. He does.
Yes, it
job.
Is. Mm-hmm.
So, Commander, how many chapters do you have and how many members?
We have, I believe it's 32 chapters, and we have over 19,000 members statewide.
That's a good size organization, and you're part of the Commander's Task Force, which is a group of the veteran service organizations that pull together and meet once a month and try to advance some legislative initiatives and coordinate their efforts.
Yes, I am. I believe that's going to be starting up in September again.
Now, there's some organizational meetings early in the year after we get the new commanders all together and get them elected, and you're going to enjoy those. I've seen those for a few years, too.
Well, good. I'm looking forward to it. I attended one last year just to sort of see how it went, and it was quite interesting.
We're speaking to Rick Jarvis, the state commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Commander, can you just give us an overview? What's the mission of the DAV of Minnesota?
Our mission is protecting the rights and benefits of veterans, protecting those who served through legislation, transportation, and getting them outdoors.
And you've got some advocates that can help help with claims that are filed as well.
Yes, we do. Yeah, NSOs, and we work close with county veteran service officers.
So if for our listeners out there, if you have a medical problem that you got while you were in the service, the first place to start is your county veteran service officer. They'll help you file a claim, and then you can go over to the DAV in Minnesota, and they'll help you make sure that they promote your claim properly and document it and make sure you get what you're entitled to. Is that correct, Commander?
Yes, it is, Tom.
Well, DAV's got a lot of things you're working on, and I think you're going to have a great year. We need to talk a little bit about some of the services that the DAV offers. Can you give us just a quick list of those things that you do?
Well, our transportation program, our legislation, our outdoors, our Donor Connect program.
Yeah, clothing program.
And clothing also, yes.
Mm-hmm. So you're one of the busiest veteran service organizations around.
Well, I think so.
You're going to learn a lot more about it this year, too, aren't you?
I certainly am.
Well, Commander, your transportation program, I know you've got, I think you've got about 35 vans out there in the state. And every year you buy several new vans, but what you really need the most of all the time is volunteer drivers.
Yes, we certainly do. You know, for the program to be successful, we have to have somebody to drive the vans.
So you're always looking for new drivers. Who's eligible to drive?
Anybody. You don't have to be a veteran to drive. You know, of course, you have to have a license and all, you know, the regular stuff. But
clean driving record.
Clean, yep. And I think there's some sort of training involved in it. And flexible hours, you can do it half a day a month. You can do it more often if you so choose.
So the whole program is to provide these vans to get our veterans to their medical appointments, whether it be St. Cloud or down to Minneapolis. And those are veterans that might not otherwise be able to get to those appointments.
That's correct. Especially you get up in the northern part of the state where population is spread out. The vans are doing an excellent job up there.
Commander, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little more about the transportation program and all the other good work that you're doing at DAV of Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Rick Jarvis, who's the department commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota. And Commander, we talked a little bit in the first segment about the fact that you served two tours in Vietnam and survived them. Great to have you here, sir, a fellow Vietnam veteran. And you were in the Army, and you've been part of the DAV of Minnesota for about 18 years and spent the last 5 years working through the chairs. And now from this spring till next spring of 18 to 19, you're the department commander, DAV of Minnesota. How's that?
Yes, I'm. Well, so far it's very exciting. And very busy.
Have they shown you the calendar for the next 12 months? Do you have a good idea of all the things you're going to have to do?
Well, there's a few things that are penciled in, but we go monthly. Butch and I will sit down and go over the calendar and fill it in. In fact, we did that today and picked up a few more events to attend and meetings to attend.
And when you refer to Butch, that's your state adjutant, Stephen Whitehead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah.
So, got a great one there. He'll help you through it, sir. He'll help you.
Now, got faith in him.
We were talking about what I think is maybe your biggest program at DAV Minnesota, where you've, for years, you've been raising money and buying vans so that you can get those out and get our veterans to their appointments at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center or the St. Cloud Medical Center. And you put those vans out there, but the real important follow-up to that is drivers. They're volunteer drivers that take care of driving these vans to and from those facilities.
Yes, they are. And we're always looking for looking to staff. We need more drivers. It's a continuous thing. The ones we have, we do have a great group, but we could always use more to lighten the load, especially with this expansion coming down southeast. We're gonna need drivers down there.
So for all our listeners out there, if you've got half a day a month or a half a day a week, a clean driving record and a valid driver's license, go to davmn.org and just look on the website for information on how to apply to be a driver. And there's all the contact information and all the details are there. Now, Commander, you said you're doing another expansion. I know the last year or two we expanded up into the North Country, north of Duluth, and we were bringing down a lot of folks to Duluth and busting them in. Now you're doing Southeast. Is that where you're expanding?
Yes, it is, Tom. To get veterans to their appointments and Sioux Falls over into Wisconsin.
We've got a lot of veterans that go to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center that not just Minnesota, but the western part of Wisconsin. So you're trying to expand in there and make sure that you've got some...
It's got some coverage there, yes.
Some coverage to get all of those veterans to Minneapolis that need to get there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And once again, when you open up a new area like that, you need even more new drivers. So anybody that can hear the show out there, go to davmn.org and volunteer to help with the driving. Now, Commander, you've also got a lot of other activities that you do. One of them is a clothing drive. You've been looking for gently used clothing for as long as I can remember. And there are bins around the state, and they can actually call, and someone from the DAV will come out and pick them up.
Yes, there are bins around the state. We do take clothing and miscellaneous items, household goods, some books, etc.
And there'll be more information on that at davmn.org as well.
Yes. And most chapters, we have our regular routes in the community, church garage sales. We have a drop-off point that we have a person there on Friday. So just the general public can drop off what they want. And then we keep our three, we only have three boxes, but we keep them all up at Camp Ripley inside the gates, and we go and clean them out once every couple weeks.
And the DAV makes their money by the pound, so the more pounds of clothing we can donate to the DAV, the more money you'll have to buy vans.
That's correct.
All right, sir. We're speaking with Rick Jarvis, the department commander from Disabled American Veterans on Minnesota Military Radio. Commander, one of the big programs the DAV has is the outdoors program. Can you tell us about the hunting and fishing?
Yes, I can. I've been on a number of events. I go to the deer hunt every year up at camp and help with that. I'm not a active hunting member. I've been with the Trolling for Troops, went out fishing this spring. I've also been up to Williams Narrows for a three-day fishing trip, which was excellent. And we have winter fishing. We had a canoeing trip just recently.
And all of those events, there's information on your website. Once again, davmn.org.
Yes, under the outdoor program.
Outdoor programs. And, you know, part of the thing you're trying to do there is get some of our disabled American veterans out of the house and out into the fresh air.
That's exactly right. People really loosen up when they get together with a bunch of veterans and they get in the outdoors. They seem a lot more comfortable. After a couple of days on events like the houseboat, I haven't been on it, but I understand there'll just be conversation after conversation and a good time. It's a healing for veterans.
And if you can get them up to Camp Ripley for those fall hunts, they enjoy getting an opportunity to get out into the woods a little bit too.
Yes, they do. And the volunteers that put up the stands, find the areas, every hunter has a mentor to help them. It's just a phenomenal program, put together just perfectly for them.
So, Commander, to help with the vans and to help with the outdoor programs, you're looking for donations, and you're also looking for some volunteers. And then the most important thing, you're looking for the injured veterans that want to get outside and go have a little fun.
Yes. I would hope everybody who is interested in there, we can also get the application to fill out online under the outdoor program at the DAV.org.
Commander, I understand in recent years some of the other veterans organizations are helping you put on some of these outdoors activities, so we're all pulling together for the same cause, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. The B4B helps with a grant, and we're with the American Legion, VFW, and the Elks are even helping.
Well, that's a great cause, and I'm glad to hear that all those veteran service organizations are pulling together. Commander, I understand you just came back from the DAV National Convention in Reno, Nevada.
Yes, I did. Exciting time out there.
Were there a lot of DAV members out there?
I think the number I heard was 8,000.
8,000.
I believe that.
Reno knows you were there, don't they?
Oh, yes, they do.
Saw the DAV shirts all over town.
Yes, they did.
So how was that convention, sir?
It was excellent. We had a couple of... We won a major award. The Judge Marks Award is the top state in recruitment for I don't know, about the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth year in a row, something like that.
Minnesota's leading the way again.
Leading the way. And our adjutant, Stephen Whitehead, was elected to be the senior vice, and hopefully next year at the National Convention in Orlando, he'll be elected a national commander.
National Commander, one of our own.
One of our own.
Member of the Minnesota Army National Guard, and he's been your adjutant for years, and he's going to have to take part of next year off in order to be the National Commander. That'll be pretty exciting.
Well, it's going to be for him. Might make it exciting for us also.
He might need your help next year, Commander.
Yeah.
Commander, we just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts about DAV in Minnesota and the big year you've got coming up?
No, I just know it's going to be busy, and once again, I'm very honored to be the face of the DAV of Minnesota, representing our 19,000 disabled veterans.
Commander, we look forward to having you on the show several times this year while you're in between your trips all over the state, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
That was Rick Jarvis, the department commander from the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to learn about the PGA Hope program that's helping our disabled veterans right here on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn all about the PGA Hope program. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
Did you know Minnesota veterans' education benefits extend beyond the traditional classroom experience? On-the-job training, or OJT, allows veteran employees to receive training while performing a job and earning wages for 6 months up to 2 years. Examples include law enforcement and mechanical careers. The apprenticeship program combines on-the-job training with related technical information and instruction for an average of 2 to 5 years. Examples of apprenticeships include carpentry, plumbing, or power line work. For more information about these programs, call 1-888-LINK-VET or visit minnesotaveteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now is Jeff Hintz, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Minnesota PGA. Jeff, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you for having me.
Jeff, we met some time ago and started talking about the show and the things you're doing to help our disabled veterans, but I understand your father was in the military.
He was, yeah. He served in the early 70s before I was born. Was stationed at Vance Air Force Base in Enid, Oklahoma, and then went on to be in the reserves. So retired as a lieutenant colonel. So I guess picked up a lot from my father along the way from his military background.
And a little bit of interest in caring in our disabled veterans.
Absolutely.
Now, you've got an interesting story. Tell our listeners, how did you get to Minnesota?
Well, our travels, my family, my wife and I, and now we have three children, have kind of worked our way up from Florida up to Minnesota by way of Michigan and a few stops before Florida. So I really was chasing the dream to be in the golf business and manage and organize big tournaments, and worked at PGA headquarters down in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida for 5 years. Previously, I was on the road for a few events. And then after Florida, we moved up to Michigan, where I ran the Senior PGA Championship in 2012 and 2014 at Harbor Shores, which is in Benton Harbor, Michigan, close to Lake Michigan there. Beautiful piece of land. And then I got the call in the winter of, actually, so the fall of 2010, 2014, that the Ryder Cup director position had opened up, and we couldn't say no to that. So that's what brought us to town, and I spent 2 years with an incredible team and fantastic membership at Hazeltine National and over 4,000 volunteers organizing the biggest golf tournament in the world that we've ever seen. The Americans got a victory there, so it was great to see and witness. So that's why I'm here, and then decided to stick around in Minnesota. We loved it. You know, we have small children, and they're in the school systems here, and we're not from Minnesota, and my dad also was an educator. He was a higher education and school administrator, and so the value of the educational system here is just something that I don't think, unless you are from outside of the area, you realize how good it is. And so we want to stick around. So we live in Chaska, and now I work for the Minnesota PGA, which is technically under the umbrella of the PGA of America. We have one of the 41 sections across the country. So now I run the kind of the day-to-day business for the Minnesota PGA.
So the short story was, you came up here with an opportunity to run a little tournament in our backyard called the Ryder Cup. And I can remember very clearly some of the best matches on a really beautiful golf course that I've seen in years.
Yeah, it was an exciting week, and we lucked out. You know, the weather could end up being the story, and we've certainly lucked out with the weather being as beautiful as it was, and it just seemed like everything hit on every cylinder, and we got the victory, and the fans, people came from all over the world, had a great time, and really haven't heard any negative comments in the last 2 years. And, you know, not a week goes by that you don't see somebody that has a Ryder Cup shirt on or a Ryder Cup hat. You see it everywhere in the community here. So the community really fully supported the corporate community. And it's exciting that the Ryder Cup is going to come back in 2028 to Hazeltine National.
Well, congratulations on sticking around in Minnesota.
Well, thanks.
And an opportunity to be chief executive officer of Minnesota PGA, and you hang out around Bunker Hills Golf Club in Coon Rapids.
Yeah, a little bit. That's where our headquarters is. And I kind of get around town a little bit and meet, and I try to go and play a little bit of golf. You know, I don't apologize. I'm in the golf business. I don't apologize how to play golf. So I like to get out and meet people and just talk about the good things that the Minnesota PGA and along with our 603 professionals in our section are doing, you know, to further the game of golf and just to get people playing.
And a beautiful golf course. We'll be out there in 2 weeks with the 9th annual Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic. And we got about 208 golfers for that one.
Good for you.
We'll use all three nines. Now, you're out there at Bunker Hills. You're the CEO of the PGA Minnesota. And the PGA has something called the PGA Reach Minnesota. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, so that's our 501c3. Reach stands for Recreation, Education, Awareness, Community, and Health. So that's our 501c3 foundation. There's three pillars within PGA Reach Minnesota, and they are youth, military, and inclusion. And so we're doing a lot of things in the youth space. We think, obviously, we have to think about where's the game going and who are the next people that are going to take up the game. And so we're really focusing in on what we're doing with growth of the game initiatives with drive, chip, and putt, which is the three disciplines. And you see that culminate at the Sunday before the Masters tournament where the kids compete, and it's live on the Golf Channel. So we run about 12 or 13 qualifiers here in Minnesota. for that particular event. There's also a new product or a new golf league called PGA Junior League, which is essentially like the Little League baseball model, but for golf. And so you have home and away matches, and the kids get jerseys, and they may get their team name on the back. So it kind of adds, brings golf forward a little bit and team sports. And then we also have about 2,000 kids that are a part of our junior golf program, where we have four different tours that allows them to compete. On the inclusion side of our foundation, we work closely with the Special Olympics Minnesota. And we run an event this September called the Ian Leonard Bad Pants Open, and that'll be at Rush Creek on September 19th. And really what that does is just raises funds and awareness for Special Olympics Minnesota. And then we also picked up the Tape Mark Charity Classic, which is helps with adults with disabilities.
Busy guy. We're speaking to Jeff Hintz, who is the CEO of Minnesota PGA and Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Jeff, I want to get into the military portion of this, and can you tell us about PGA Hope?
I most certainly can. So PGA Hope, again, another acronym, HOPE, stands for Helping Our Patriots Everywhere. And what that is it uses golf as a modality, a therapeutic modality for rehabilitation. And so the PGA of America National Charity, which is PGA Reach, has a letter, a memo of understanding with the Department of Veterans Affairs and the hospital system. And that letter of understanding essentially says our program has been validated by the VA medical centers to offer a recreation therapy opportunity for those that need it. And so we work with our PGA professionals here in the Minnesota section to deliver anywhere from a 6 to 10 week program for disabled veterans, whether it's physical or mental, to give them an outlet to help them recover and recuperate, either whether it's physical or mental.
So this is part of the rehabilitation program for our disabled vets and helping them find a new normal and helping them get outside.
That's right. Exactly. And what a wonderful way to do it on the golf course and maybe learn a new sport or get reintroduced to a sport maybe they once played. And it provides an avenue for them to really have a camaraderie and really mix with our PGA professionals. Our PGA professionals go through a certification program to be able to deliver this program to our veterans. And it's no cost to the veterans. And so that's where we come in from the Minnesota section standpoint, where we raise the funds and we work with our national organizing body to generate funds to be able to deliver the program, whether it's special equipment we need, access to a golf course, where there is no cost to those veterans.
Now, Jeff, some of those disabled veterans might be suffering from some depression, some post-traumatic stress, some other emotional issues because they have to deal with the fact that maybe they've got a prosthetic, maybe they've got some other things, and they get down on themselves. And for you to step up and work with the VA Medical Center to help them do something fun and learn how to get around again, that's got to be really fulfilling.
Right. And we know golf is a challenging sport. It's not easy, but if you're with people that you're learning the game with or relearning the game with, it makes it a lot easier, especially with our PGA professionals and how they instruct. You know, it just gives people an opportunity to get out, like you said. So it's a great program, and we're really happy to be able to do it. We've expanded from 2 chapters here locally to 6. And so we're starting to spread our fingers throughout the state of Minnesota. Our goal is to have a broader impact over the next 5 years. So we really want more and more people to take advantage of this program.
Very good. Jeff, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about PGA Hope program on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Jeff Hintz, who is the CEO of Minnesota PGA, and we've been discussing the PGA Hope program. And Jeff, could you just bring our listeners up to date one more time? What's that about? It's a program to help our disabled veterans.
Sure, yeah. Using PGA professionals and delivering a golf instruction program for 6 to 10 weeks throughout the summer. And actually, we even have some winter programs here. But HOPE stands for Helping Our Patriots Everywhere. And it uses golf as a therapeutic modality to help our veterans recover.
So, and you are doing that with the Minneapolis VA Medical Center.
We are, absolutely, yes. There's a national letter of memo of understanding with the medical center, the VA Medical Center National, that this program is essentially certified to deliver the rehab programs.
So this is you're actually partners with Minneapolis VA Hospital in helping our veterans get out and get moving around.
Yes.
And find a new way to a new normal for their life.
Yeah, the local VA medical center here that could not be stronger. They are fantastic, and we work with some tremendous recreational therapists. Kristen Powell is the lead there. And it's done wonders. And actually, an interesting fact, Tom, the VA center here, by way of the Ryder Cup being played here at Hazeltine, one of the things that came back to the community was a golf simulator, and that has been installed in the VA. It was challenging to get it installed in a government building, but it is there, and we're told it's the only golf simulator in any VA medical center across the country. And Kristen says that golf simulator is booked nonstop. They are getting full use out of that piece of equipment.
I hope it's not just the doctors that they're using it. It's for the patients, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
The doctors might be in there helping them a little bit.
Maybe so, yeah.
That's all right. Well, it's a great partnership to have. And, you know, how do you do this? You've got your foundation, PGA Reach.
Mm-hmm.
How do you raise money? How do you provide the funds to take care of this initiative to help our disabled veterans?
Yeah, so the HOPE program has not been around for too many years. Now, I will say what we've done here on the local level outlasts what we've done on the national level. So we started with the HOPE program here about 10 years ago. A lot of our funding prior to this year would come from national PGA of America and the foundation there. And we're at a point now where we really want to grow. And so national can't keep up with the pace that all the sections across the country are growing their HOPE programming. So now it's on us to raise the funds to be able to deliver the program. And I mentioned previously that we've grown from 2 locations within our section to 6. And our goal is we want to grow that even more. So then how do we raise the funds to do that? One of the ways that somebody could contribute is to look into getting a Play Golf Minnesota license plate. That is a partnership with the Minnesota Golf Association and the Minnesota PGA, where those funds from that, just like a DNR plate or an environmental plate would raises funds for those specific causes. Well, this raises funds for golf development and giving back to the community by way of golf. And so I'm proud to say that the Fort Snelling golf course there, really close to the VA, one of the things after somebody's gone through the HOPE program is what's next? Where are they going to play? What course may they have access to?
Don't have to go far, do they?
Don't have to go far. Fort Snelling. So what we've done from the license plate is we've issued a grant to Fort Snelling that the veterans can play Fort Snelling for $5. So it essentially subsidizes their rounds of golf. And that's been a wonderful program this year. It gives somebody an opportunity after they've gone through the program and they maybe have fallen in love with the game of golf. They want to go and play. And Fort Snelling, we want to do more and more of that. And so that's one mechanism to fundraise. Another one we talked about is the 100 Holes for Hope. That was our inaugural event this past June on the summer solstice, the longest day of the year. It was a challenge that day for 18 golfers to play 100 holes of golf in one day. And there's a lot of different charities that do that. It's a long day of golf. But what was special about that day is we had a handful of veterans that played, some disabled, some physically disabled, that played 100 holes that day. And it was a heroic effort. They were tired. They were exhausted. But, you know, to have a crowd there on the 18th green watching them come up on the last hole and give them an applause or a resounding cheer like somebody would get at a PGA championship, the guys came up to me afterwards and said that was a special moment.
And you did that on June 21st up in Mount Frontenac. And while you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, I've played 18 holes. Occasionally we go 27. You're out with the guys and maybe go 36. I'm done. 100 yeah. holes? How do you do that?
Yeah, 100 holes. This is speed golf, and you have a cart, and you play in a twosome, and you each have a cart, and you go to your ball, and you just go and hit. So I did it, and it took me about 6 hours and 2 minutes or so to play the 100 holes, and so it's a fast pace.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'll skip that, if you don't mind.
Okay, sure.
We'll help you fundraise and do some other things, but I'll watch you do the 6 hours.
Okay, all right.
Jeff, we just got about a minute left. Can you summarize what you're doing and what's the future for PGA Hope?
Yeah, the future is hopefully, you know, this is very scalable here, and there's a large military and veteran community here in the state that we'd love to get involved in the game of golf. I think it's a great way for somebody to get outside and enjoy, the natural beauty that we have here in Minnesota. But what we do at the Minnesota PGA, and specifically our foundation, PGA Reach Minnesota, is help our veterans rehabilitate or recuperate by using golf. And we like to say that we're improving lives through golf, and that's what we do with our PGA professionals.
And where do our listeners go for more information?
The best way to look that up is go to Minnesota, spell it out, MinnesotaPGA.com. You can go there and learn all about the Minnesota PGA. There's a tab for the foundation. You can learn about what we do.
Very good. Jeff, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Jeff Hintz, the CEO of PGA Minnesota, talking about PGA Hope. Joining me now is Ralph Huesner, the public affairs officer from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Ralph, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's good to be with you.
Ralph, I understand the director's still off on temporary assignment. I hope he's doing well and coming back soon.
We're looking forward to his return, hopefully in September. But the facility is under capable hands with Mr. Darwin Goodspeed, who's the director of the St. Sioux Falls VA Medical Center.
And I'm sure you've got a great leadership team, and I know you've got wonderful people working out there because I see them every time I come out.
I appreciate the compliment.
Ralph, I understand you got a town hall coming up.
On Monday, August 6th, at the Richfield American Legion Post. That's Post 435. It's on 6501 Portland. The American Legion save the VA Task Force. It's called Save Our System. They're going to hold a town hall open to veterans to solicit input on what veterans think of the VA. Our leadership will be there to answer questions, but this is really for the American Legion to solicit input from its members. Starts at 7 o'clock. It's a great Legion Hall. It's quite large, great restaurant. So hopefully veterans are listening. If they're available, the Richfield American Legion Post 435 on Monday, August 6th.
So that's the American Legion's program to keep the VA system intact across the country instead of some people talking about taking that down and letting our veterans go out to civilian doctors.
That's it. Not only to maintain the system, but what can be done to improve it. It's the system worth saving, not just the entire VA system, but I think individual medical centers as well. So we're looking forward to their visit. In addition to the town hall, a group of National American Legion executives will be here on the 7th and the 8th, interviewing staff, touring the facility, asking questions, and looking through information that we've been asked to present to them on wait times, access, vacancies, and a whole array of information. So we're looking forward to the visit on August 7th and 8th here at the Medical Center.
And the American Legion is having their 100th National Convention in the Twin Cities. They had the first one here, now they're having the 100th one here. You're helping out a little bit.
We're looking forward to it. A couple of our staff are going to participate in workshops, one on the caregiver program, another workshop on alternative care, alternative and complementary care, i.e. yoga and acupuncture. One of our staff alternative care experts will participate. We will have our suicide prevention team at the convention hall providing information. And also on the Friday of the 24th of August, we are going to be hosting a group of Legionnaires here at the Medical Center at our Brain Sciences Center. It's a research facility which 20-plus years ago, thanks to the Legion, raised $1 million to fund it. So we're going to do an in-service briefing on the impact of the Brain Sciences Center, thanks to the American Legion.
Good work, Ralph. We only got a couple minutes left. I'm always teasing the director about having his hard hat on, but I understand you've moved the primary care clinics. It's all complete. Is that renovation over?
As of August 6th, the last primary care clinic is going to move to the fourth floor. So 1A, 1B, it's a long corridor of examining rooms. Construction is going to begin shortly. In that space, we're going to put our low-blind clinic in that space. Service organizations will be consolidated into one place. Right now, they're scattered through the hospital, and we'll have some additional use in that area.
So you'll be major remodeling the first floor, not including the flag atrium, but the other offices that were just vacated.
It's the corridor between the emergency department and the flag atrium.
And Ralph, I understand the St. James VA Clinic is having an open house.
Yes, sir. On August 16th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. down in St. James. It's a small clinic, but every one of our community clinics will be hosting a community open house once a year. So we're going to be down in St. James. We're also going to connect to the medical center for veterans who would like to interact with the leadership who won't be on site. We'll have staff on site in St. James, but if they want to ask questions of the nurse executive and our other executives here at the medical center, they'll be able to do that remotely.
So, Ralph, we just got a few seconds left. Always enjoy having you on the show, and I'm glad to see that some of that major construction is done out there, and the parking ramps are open, and the parking lot's a little easier to park. And thanks for joining us today.
Always appreciate it. Thank you, Tom.
It's Ralph Huesner, the public affairs officer from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Rick Jarvis, Jeff Hintz, Ralph Huesner from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, Commissioner Larry Shalito of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we catch up with Jerry Kaiser from Honor Flight's Twin Cities and members of the 934th Airlift Wing's Air Medical Evacuation Team. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.